Manuscript Releases, Volume 17, Numbers 1236 to 1300. M.R. Number 1271. Concern over the leadership in Battle Creek. Plans for a medical institution in Kurenbong. Leaders to be connected with God. Written August 26, 1898, from Sunnyside, Kurenbong, New South Wales, to Dear Brother and Sister Wagoner. How much pleased I would be to see you and visit with you. I have so much desired that you would visit us in Australia, but it has been some years since I have considered the General Conference as the voice of God, and therefore I feel no desire to write, although again and again I have come to the point of requesting you to make a visit to Australia. Cannot you do this? Please write us whether you can. When I learned that Brother H.E. Robinson and his wife had been sent to England, I said, "It is a mistake. He has not the qualifications that would be of use and benefit in Europe. For unless he can rule, he would ruin. Then his wife's influence would be a very wrong one. There is no light in her. She is a body of darkness, a channel through whom the enemy works, and that continuously. Who placed him in power? Why did they place him in that position? He has left his mark where it has done harm that will not be easily effaced. The Lord help and strengthen you against all such influences. What is Elder Olson doing in Europe now? I feel very sorry for him. I cannot feel in union with him as I formerly did. He did not use aright the testimonies given me for him. He gave wrong impressions by selecting portions of the testimonies and making strong use of them, passing over the reproofs given to him and to others. I cannot place confidence in him. He has oppressed his brethren by bringing in elements to work against those whom God was using to do his work. Will not God judge for these things? I hope that something will take place that will give me stronger faith than I now have in Battle Creek and the working of the cause of God in the institutions there. But as yet, I am in trouble of mind, sending over reproving messages for them. First one thing and then another works to hinder and not to purify the work. I write to you now because I want you, and W.C. White is of the same mind, to visit us in Australia. We think Present Truth the best paper published by our people. We enjoyed Elder and Mrs. Prescott's visit here very much, and I was surprised that he did not remain in Battle Creek when he returned. It may be in the providence of God that he is where he is, but I do hope and pray that the Lord will adjust the work so that proper ones will take hold of it in Battle Creek. I would be pleased to have you come here to Australia. This seems to be a new world. Great changes have been made here since we first broke the soil 3 years ago this coming September. We have had very close work in regard to means, and still have. We are hoping, eagerly hoping, that the Lord will hear our earnest prayers and furnish us means to build a hospital in Kurenbong. We need it so much. The poor people here know not how to take care of themselves. Sarah McEnterfer is called out quite frequently to treat the sick. It is a great tax on her, and we can ill afford to have her away so much. I have decided to walk out by faith and secure a site for a hospital. I shall send to America, asking the members of our churches to donate a dime each, and those whose hearts are willing, a larger sum. For this building we must have, and we shall go to work to erect it just as soon as we can possibly obtain means. We shall build as cheaply as we can, and then this building will be succeeded by a better one. We can do scarcely anything for the sick unless we have a place in which they can be given treatment. We shall wait and watch and pray, trusting God's living word. We feel deeply the need of men to work and money to use. Sunday, August 27th. Today we are to ride to Waii, a place about 6 or 7 miles away, to visit the railway workers and speak to those who want to hear the words of truth. I have thought how profitable it would be to have minute men, laborers together with God, who would be instant in season and out of season. The Lord's work is not to stand on ceremony with a precise time to be observed for every line of work. When a great and decisive work is to be done, God chooses men and women to do this work, and it will feel the loss if the talents of both are not combined. God has divine methods. David expresses the ways of God. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, he says, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. He declares that though he is old and gray-headed, his zeal has not diminished. He entreats the Lord not to leave him to his own wisdom, but to remain with him, that he may bear testimony to the youth that are springing up around him.
The Lord has a great work to be done, and he will bequeath the most in the future to those who have done the most in the present. The Lord chooses his own agents, and each day, under different circumstances, gives them a trial in his plan of operations. In each wholehearted, true endeavor to work out his plans, he chooses his agents, not because they are perfect, but that they may gain perfection of character through connection with his work. Those in responsible positions who have the least conscientious scruples in reference to their own course of action are the ones who watch most jealously for the mistakes of others. Position does not make the man. Only by a living connection with God is the Holy Spirit implanted in the heart. Those who have this connection are faithful and true, and will not betray holy trust. The men whom God has called and chosen may, if they will, learn of Christ to be true. They may work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. But when young men and young women begin to put on airs of importance, they are not looking to the Lord Jesus. They are not learning from him to be meek and lowly. They form habits of arbitrary authority and are full of conceit, full of boasting about what they are going to do and what wonderful improvements they will make in advancement and growth. They have not learned lessons from Christ, and they become so wise in their own conceit that they think they are on the topmost round of the ladder, but they have not placed their feet on the first round. They show that they cannot guide, with enlightened, sanctified intelligence, their own little bark of self. If they had learned this lesson, they would have learned how to deal with human minds. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., July 9th, 1987. Entire letter, explanatory note. The opinions in this document were expressed by Ellen White at a time when only a small group represented the General Conference. After the General Conference was reorganized in 1901 to provide broad representation, Mrs. White took a different view. At the 1909 General Conference, she encouraged strong support for the General Conference. At that session, she said, "At times, when a small group of men entrusted with the general management of the work have, in the name of the General Conference, sought to carry out unwise plans and to restrict God's work, I have said that I could no longer regard the voice of the General Conference, represented by these few men, as the voice of God. But this is not saying that the decisions of a General Conference, composed of an assembly of duly appointed, representative men from all parts of the field, should not be respected. God has ordained that the representatives of his church from all parts of the earth, when assembled in a general conference, shall have authority. Let us give to the highest organized authority in the church that which we are prone to give to one man or to a small group of men." 9. 260-261. See further, The Early Elmshaven Years, by A. L. White, pages 75 to 94, 108 to 110.